in Zion's mountain, there will come to be a remnant, and it will come to be a sacred thing to Jacob's house for a possession of delight. Obadiah chapter 1, verse 17, of the version of Yours Truly from 2003. And isn't that a wonderful poetic sentence and verse of the book of Obadiah, the only chapter of Obadiah in the book of the Bible, the sacred word? In Zion's mountain there will come to be a remnant, and it will come to be a sacred thing to Jacob's house for a possession of delight. Wow. I mean, that just has a flow and a sense of wonder to it, doesn't it? Just a sense of power and beauty. It does to me. You don't see the same poetry, poetic qualities in other translations all the time. Do you? Anyway, I would say not. I got this new translator, or it's a pronunciation dictionary from Mandarin Chinese on Forvo.com, Forvo.com. This is the word. What is this word? I'm not sure what this is. Let's find out.
Gansu.
Gansu. Right, the province of Gansu. Let's take a look at that province now. And we've looked at it already in our study of the Ark of Urartu, chapter 11, part 2 of the Ark of Urartu, the Orient Express, our study topic or article that we've been following. There are 12 chapters in all, so we're in the second last or the penultimate chapter of the article, the Ark of Urartu. And this is Gansu here. Gansu. The first syllable of which is held to be even pitch. And the second syllable of which is descending. Gansu. And we see what it looks like. Isn't this something? Look at this shape of this. Look at this. See the ear of a bunny rabbit? And it's going downwards in the southerly direction, but the head is pointing south, but it's a bunny rabbit with the ear and the foot, the front leg, and the head. And then you have, it's some kind of a hare, perhaps, not just a rabbit, but a very fast-running rabbit, because it has a very thin body. And then the big legs at the back with the big feet in the hind end, which is in the northwest. And you see how it looks like a bunny rabbit, but you could also say it looks like a flame to some extent, because flames can burst upward in different directions. And that's what this looks like it's doing, some kind of flame. And when you look at the neighboring province here, we're going to see what that is. It's not named on this map, but let's take a look at what that neighboring province is. There. It's not that one. That's... Wait a minute. Yeah, right. Actually, that's not shaped like a flame, is it? Well, yes, it is. It is. Not as much as this one is. This is shaped like a flame. But you know what? I mean, the bunny rabbit is also a more asymmetrical flame shape. But then we have the province of... And we need the pronunciation for this. Might be this one here.
Shanxi.
Yeah, I think it's this one. Shanxi. I think that's the one. I don't think we can get it pronounced. No, that's a different one, isn't it? Yeah, wait a minute. Okay, hang on. This one failed, you see. But let's look at the third one here and see what happens.
Shanxi.
That's the one. Shanxi. It's two even-pitched syllables. They're not rising, nor are they descending. And that is what is the name of this province here. Next, the one to the left of this one, actually. Let's see if it's here. Here it is. Shanxi. Shanxi. Two even-pitched syllables. Now let's find out how that should look in the Chinese language. There it is. It's got these two syllables. Okay, I didn't... Wait a minute. Let's resize this. Would be a good idea. There we go. It's got these two syllables in Chinese, one of which is... That is the right... Most one is square-ish in shape with a sort of symbol like a pi on the upper part of it. The mathematical symbol pi, that's what it looks like in the upper part of this rectangle, which is virtually a square. So if we look at what we had just shown as the pronunciation of this, there it is. Yeah, Shan means mountain, and that's symbolized by a pitchfork, or what looks like a pitchfork, but it's really the middle prong of the pitchfork is higher than the other two prongs, and it symbolizes thus a mountain in the Chinese pictographic language, all of which is called kanji. 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 In Chinese and Japanese, these symbols... they're called kanji, K-A-N-J-I. We can look that up, too. We should look that up, actually. There's the province of... We need to pronounce it. Where is it? Is it this one? Not sure.
Hunan.
Hunan. That's the one. Hunan. That's that province of Hunan, which is to the east of Shanxi. And then the one north of that is also spelled similar in English to Shanxi, but it is pronounced differently as
Shanxi.
Shanxi with an ascending syllable as the second syllable. No, it's not. Wait a minute. It's not ascending. It's not. Shanxi, it's the higher pitched, even pitch, the second syllable. But the shan is not even pitched. And it's not circumflex. Like I said, circumflex, but that's an upside down accent compared to this one. This one is, it's not the umlaut either. I'm trying to think of what it's called. Umlaut would be two dots in German. This is, I don't know what to call this one, but it's the open bowl shape accent that is the descending and rising. Oh, it's failed now too in that particular Google translator. Okay.
Shanxi.
Shanxi. Now that is a different symbol, of course. Wait a minute. Shanxi. That looks like it has the same exact symbol. What's this one? Oh, I see. Look at this one. Right, so the symbol for mountain.
Shanxi.
Shanxi. Let's go back again. See if we did this right. That's the province of... don't remember how it was pronounced.
Hunan.
Not that one. Okay. I want to find out which one was the one that is the province we're interested in here. This one. Right. This province and making sure we spelled it right, there it is. The left-hand symbol is not the pitchfork. That's how we distinguish it from the other shanxi. And it is, I think this one, let's see. Yeah, this one.
Shanxi.
Shanxi. Okay, so I had it backwards. It's shanxi, the one that is in fact the one to the west, or closer to Gansu. The one that's just east of Gansu is
Shanxi.
Shanxi. And then we have
Shanxi.
Shanxi, which is, it's almost an S sound in the second syllable. And that one is the one, they both look like flames. Shanxi and Shanxi, they both look like flames. Do they not? They're sort of pointed at the top. They're right next to each other. And then the one that looks like a bunny rabbit jumping down is this beautiful province of Gansu. Gansu. And that's the one that is almost like, it's a lot like Kei Ainen's name. But then there's another one. Let's see if we can pronounce it here. Does it even show us Gansu? No, it won't play them now in the Google Translator. Now, maybe this one. No. Okay, well, let's copy that one and have it pronounced also in the other translator, if we may. Let's do this. It takes a while. There we go. And then search for it.
Xinjiang.
Xinjiang, yeah, Xinjiang, which is the pronunciation of the province, which is on the northwest of China, actually, in the northwest part, which is the westernmost northern province in China, which is the first one I think we have here. Yes, this one, Xinjiang, and it is indicated, if we could look at it again, in our list of, it's two elevated, even-pitched syllables. Xinjiang. And that's it there. Again, the Google Translator doesn't seem to be able to do it. It did earlier. It works some of the time, and then it fails maybe after so many uses. I'm not sure why it's failing. But look at these provinces. And then we have Hebei, which is this one here to the east of the province, which is, I'm trying to remember, is it two even pitch ones or not? Let's find out. Find out. Ah, yes, it's the two even-pitched syllables. This one, which is to the east, or just to the west of Hebei, and the name Hebei resembling Heber, his name. And then Shandong is, of course, the one shaped like a bird to the east of Hebei. And I don't know if we've even done the pronunciation of Shandong recently, so I just can't recall what the pronunciation is for that. Maybe someday I'll start to remember what the pronunciations are, but I can't spell it, so I don't know. In Chinese, I can't spell it, so I can't get the pronunciation unless I look it up. Here it is. Okay, good. There it is right there. Copy the first two. We don't want the symbol for province, we just want the symbol for the name Shandong. And then we go there, find out what it's pronounced like, if it's pronounced. Hang on, there it is,
Shandong.
Six different pronunciations. They're only giving us one. The other ones all had two different pronunciations, if I recall correctly, but this is six different pronunciations, it says.
Shandong.
Shandong. Shandong. Shandong.
Shandong.
Shandong. What is... Let's look it up. Do we have it here? Let's see. Well, the Google Translator is still useful for looking up how we translate. Let's look up Shandong. Should have done the west to east, right? There's Shandong. It's two even-pitched syllables. Shandong, 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 Shandong. It's almost pronounced like a T, like Taoism with a D is pronounced. Well, it's spelled with a T sometimes and pronounced D. It's the opposite of Shandong, which is spelled with a D and pronounced T. So the Chinese two English phonetics are, you might say, a little unpredictable, but can we get back to our article? That's the thing. We have this place we want to cover now. The part that we want to cover for today's 11.9, chapter 11, paragraph 9 of part 2 of the Ark of Urartu. And we've covered all the background information for it, shapes of the different provinces being so interestingly indicative, and evidently these things were important to the ancient Chinese people, the shapes of their provinces, apparently. But, I mean, it would appear to be so. Now, let's read, and before we begin, let's read the caption for the photo of this Miao woman, Chinese Miao woman. I'm probably not even pronouncing Miao right. Let's look up Miao. What you can do, you see, you can open a new tab in Google by duplicating one that you have. You can put the English on the left and then type in Miao, right, and then swap those. It means seedling.
Miao.
Miao. Seedling implies the early people, maybe. Are these the Miao people? Let's see. Let's look for Miao people. Yep, seedling people.
Miaozu.
Miaozu. So Zu means people. Miaozu. Miaozu should be rising both times.
Miaozu.
Miaozu. Sounds like that's an ascending and descending, or descending and ascending, which it, I mean, it sounded like it, but it's not indicated that way. Should be both ascending. Miaozu, and that means the Miao people, translated just as Miao in English. And then when we go back.
Miao.
Miao, it's Miao. If we put it in English, meow, meow. There's no accent or no pitch indication on the second syllable, which is a diphthong, O-U, in English. That's unusual.
Meow.
Meow. Very strange, but there's no pitch indication. And then let's take the
Miao
Zu, if you put the word people on the end of it, the word Su, if we just delete the Miao part, it means family. The Miao family, the seedling family, that fits with the early descendants from Noah, doesn't it? Remarkably so, though. It's been preserved in the Chinese language and in the geography as we're studying it. Now, this headdress of this Miao woman, it consists of rings made of bamboo with cloth and fastened together with pearls and silver grains, cock feathers, and richly decorated. Its upper part is like a basket. It's got several tiers, There's a handle on the basket at the top, and there's dangling pearls on the sides, like pearl necklaces. The historicity of Gilgamesh is confirmed by two fragments containing the name of Enmi Baragesi, a predecessor of his, as was stated above. And so is the Chinese folk religion a melting pot whose name, Shenism, echoes the name of Shenong, Shila, with Shen, or deity, serving as the sherd. Now, this is something interesting because I just realized that in the Hebrew Bible, the word Sila keeps coming up in their songs. Now, isn't it possible that this Sila refers to their ancestor Shila and not whatever else it's translated as? Just occurred to me now. Now, Lo Shen, as also stated earlier in this article, is the name given to Shem in the Chinese Miao oral tradition. So the name Shen from Shenism could also refer to Shem as well as to Shenong. In other words, it is rather quickly becoming evident in our study of Shem and how he relates to our ancient Chinese history that he is to be found in the mythology and in the language also. Shanxi province. Let's look that up again, what the rising and falling is on that name. I think it's here. This one. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's this other one. Right. Shanxi. That's what it is. Shanxi. Let's find it.
Shanxi.
That's the one that corresponds to the province of the west. There's the Yellow River, by the way. See how the Yellow River has its mouth in the province of Shandong to the east of China, which is the province shaped like a bird. Compare with the idea of the phoenix bird. But the Yellow River starts in the Kunlun Mountains. Kunlun, and goes all the way, winding its way to the province of Shandong, and on the journey goes through the northern part of China. And the name, when we look at the name, which is the, which one is it? Let's find it. This one. Shanxi. That's it. Shanxi. That's the one that is the westernmost of the two flame-shaped provinces that are spelled almost the same from our map here. Right, would indicate one of these two. It's the first one, the one on the left, or the one just east of Gansu. Okay. It's the one east of Gansu, following the Kunlun chain. I want to get its pronunciation again. I keep wanting to know what it is. Shanxi is the one that we're talking about. Shanxi province, or also spelled Shanxi, S-H-E-N-S-I instead of S-H-A-I, X-I, is the province east of Gansu, following Kunlun chain, Shanxi's eastern border, in the north, marking the river's transit. Now, the river is another name for the Yellow River in China. The river's transit to the south is what Shanxi's eastern border marks. Kainan's name in Xinjiang, it sort of has some of Kainan's name, but so does Gansu. Kainan's name in Xinjiang, Xinjiang's name in Shanxi, and Heber's name in Hebei suggest a walk spanning generations as these provinces move from west to east. With history for our telescope, the provinces don't move, but the provinces, they span areas that progress from west to east. With history for our telescope, archaeology, the magnifying glass. Oh yes, there's an illustration here. With history for our telescope, archaeology, the magnifying glass, and mythology, our bifocal lenses, we gained insight by Jehovah's undeserved kindness to zero in on this trek. Heber is the Yellow Emperor by the mouth of the river. There's a lot of content in these sentences here. And Sheila is Shenong, a foregleam of Shanxi. Gansu corridor, dogs, the Kunlun Silk Road to Persia. Gansu being a province with a shape like that of a rabbit. Shanxi province is shaped like a rabbit too, and a flame. That's right. So really the rabbit doesn't have to be shaped like a flame, but that was something I thought of that has nothing to do with what's written here. And Yan Di, the flame emperor, lived in Shanxi, to the east of Shanxi, yet another province shaped like a flame. Shanxi is also written S-H-A-N-S-I instead of S-H-A-N-X-I, and the Yellow River is the sole border between Shanxi and Shanxi to the west. Flame Emperor is sometimes said to be a posthumous honorary title given to Shenong from a line of emperors, and the 2004 general consensus is that Shenong is Yan Di. That was a general consensus among scholars from 2004. In the abundance of words, there does not fail to be error, which is why we endeavor to allow discovery to be modest. Everything that is not out of faith is sin, so we also try to avoid starting anything because of doubt about anything at all, and we start work in faith only when we are ready. This started as family research, and it will end as family research, God willing, with comments on the Skanes family. In the Greek scriptures, i.e. New Testament, the words for tent and body are in Greek, skene and skenoma. Tent maker is skenopoios, see Festival of Tabernacles in the Bible. Festival of Tabernacles is called skenopegia. Skenopegia, the Greek word. From Strong's Concordance, the word number being indicated by the letter G for Greek, and the number 4634 in the Greek language of Strong's Concordance. That's all for today's study. I do hope that was enjoyable for you. I know this is extremely interesting or exciting for me, because I never knew anything about China before I wrote this article back in 2011. I didn't really have any way to learn about it, particularly because of the language being so different. And a lot of these a lot of the things that are characteristic or a lot of the aspects, that's the word, a lot of the aspects of life today have come about, and the features and the richness, the ability to research is solely due to the internet. A lot of these things are solely due to the internet, and it's arrival in about the year 1990 something, you know, in around that time when it started to begin, and then it burgeoned, of course, very rapidly, and it still has much more growth, I believe, to complete. It will never be complete. The internet can be added to infinitely, so it's going to be exciting, I think. But the other idea is, I think, you know, if you want to enjoy quiet or peaceful ownership of your property, then it's very important, it's absolutely crucial, fundamental, that you permit others to live that way too. And so, you know, this idea of invading another country or trying to take over other countries is not conducive to this being able to peacefully enjoy your own property, and you'll never have peace by doing that. And that's what, of course, people who've tried that in the past have found, such as Adolf Hitler, for example. He tried to take over the world, starting in Europe, and probably would have gone beyond it if he'd succeeded in taking over the world. But it was not to be, because the world didn't agree with that. However, it would be nice if the world could agree to come together, wouldn't it, and negotiate a peaceful coexistence with a central rulership that everyone could agree on. Would it not? I think it would be, but it would be wonderful. But this is January 8th, and the year is 2025 of the Common Era. The time is 1954 now, hours, Canadian Eastern Time. I'm Ward Green, and I love you very much. And in my behalf, this is Sissy, and this is Star, saying bye for now. Chapter 11, paragraph 9 of the Ark of Urartu was what we studied today. The Miao people, we see a lot of the origin of, or the history of Noah's Ark and its descendants from the Miao people.